Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Two of the best stories of the day right here. Let's see, which one do we start with? Let's start with the self-deportation app. This was a controversial immigration app that the Biden administration launched. So the Biden administration, what did they do? We have an app for that. They built an app, the CBP One app, Customs and Border Protection, except for they weren't actually protecting our border. They were flinging the gates of the border wide open. They actually made an app to make it easier for illegal aliens to enter and to stay in this country illegally. They had an app for that. It was called the CBP One app. And so it was just one of the other crazy things that's just another reminder for all of us that these policies weren't just stupid that came out of the Biden tester regime. They were deliberate. They were intentional. They deliberately allowed this invasion to occur, and they did everything possible to aid and abet this invasion of America and all the crime that occurred as a result of it, and Native American women being targeted on our reservations by the Mexican drug cartels. Joe Biden and John Tester and the Democrats did everything they could to allow this invasion to occur. Accountability matters. That's why we still mention John Tester's name, because you need to be reminded that the Montana Democrats were every bit a part of this. But anyway, the good news is this, though, is that, okay, so think about it. These illegal aliens already have the app. They probably already have it on their fancy smartphones that they can somehow afford. And so now I wonder, here's what I hope happens now, because what the Trump administration has done is they are now repurposing the CBP One app. The Biden administration created the CBP One app to make it easier for illegal aliens to come into the country and to stay in the country illegally. The Trump team is now turning it into the self-deportation app. Now, the CBP One app can be used by these illegal aliens to make it easier for them to deport themselves back to where they came from. Isn't this just brilliant? So my assumption here is that app, like other apps, comes with notifications. It can send out notification alerts. Maybe some of you already know the answer to this. I'm assuming they already have the ability. Maybe they've already been sending out alerts and notifications to anybody with the app on their phone to say, hey, it's time to go, buddy. Time to leave. Last call. Time to deport yourself. But Bill Malusian's got a great report about the CBP One app now being turned into the self-deportation app. I can play that story for you here in coming up after the next news and weather break. And then the other great story. Look at these anti-American, pro-Hamas terrorists, insurrectionists, people trying to basically launch an insurgency on American streets, on American campuses. Well, if they're here on some sort of a visa, they're going to be deported too. There's already one in custody.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With partly to mostly sunny skies for today, high temperatures will range from around 50 in Bozeman to 63 in the Billings area. Tonight, with clear to partly cloudy skies, lows in the low to mid 30s. And then the outlook into Wednesday calls for partly sunny skies, highs from the mid 50s in Bozeman to the upper 60s in Billings. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy skies move in. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
This is House Call for Health. 5 years ago today,
COVID-19 can be characterized as a pandemic.
The Director General of the World Health Organization, Dr. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, making the declaration.
In the past 2 weeks, the number of cases of COVID-19 outside China has increased 13-fold. And the number of affected countries has tripled. There are now more than 118,000 cases in 114 countries, and 4,291 people have lost their lives. Thousands more are fighting for their lives in hospitals.
Dr. Gabriese is going on to say that in the coming days and weeks, they would see the number of cases and deaths and the number of impacted countries climb even higher. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Flip-flop, flat top, oh, he's flip-flopping again, even though he's no longer a United States senator. Yeah, John Tester was on HBO with Bill Maher, and he blamed Kamala Harris for his big loss here in the U.S. Senate race in Montana. And then he pretended to speak out against men and women's sports, but we all know there's actually more to that story. Either way, check out the video of Tester on Bill Maher's program, MontanaTalks.com.
Big topics, big ideas, big sky, Montana talks.
All right, yeah, leave it to a liberal judge once again. Leave it to a liberal judge. So here you have a guy who is in this country on a visa. He is not a United States citizen. He is arranging activities to lock down our college campuses and intimidate Jewish students on these American Jewish students on these college campuses. He is basically leading an insurgency on the streets, part of an insurgency on the streets of America. And he's here on a guest pass. He's here on a visa. He's not a United States citizen. So, yeah. Throw his ass out. Get rid of the visa. Get him out of here. He is here protesting in support of a Hamas terrorist group. The White House sent out a tweet. This is the first arrest of many to come. We know there are more students at Columbia and other universities across the country who have engaged in pro-terrorist, anti-Semitic, anti-American activities. Yeah, this guy was arrested by ICE on March 9th. It's now, of course, March 11th. John Jackson, who joins us in about 1 hour, he said, he quoted Billy Idol, "With a rebel yell, he cried, more, more, more." That's right. Go out there and get more of these, arrest more of these pro-terrorist group activists who are launching an insurgency on the streets of America. Now, of course, you're seeing Tesla dealerships being rampaged and ransacked and destroyed, all because Elon Musk is trying to help save this country from a $2 trillion deficit and from a $36 trillion national debt that could basically bankrupt this entire country. Anyway, here's the latest. But, yeah, of course, a liberal judge has the back of the pro-Hamas terrorist insurgent here instead of the backs of the American people. Here we go. Alexis McAdams with Fox News Radio has the latest from New York and this pro-Hamas terrorist insurgent.
A judge ruling that Mahmoud Khalil cannot be deported just yet. This comes as he reigns in federal custody as ICE says he was leading activities that align with Hamas. President Trump posting on Truth Social saying this is just the first of many arrests to come, writing in part, "We know that there are more students at Columbia and other universities across this country who have engaged in pro-terrorist, anti-Semitic, anti-American activity, and the Trump administration will not tolerate it." Khalil's lawyer says ICE agents revoked his green card and his student visa over the weekend, coming just days after he was spotted here at a protest inside of the library at Barnard College.
All right, Secretary of State Marco Rubio also saying that anybody who supports Hamas or any other terrorist group will have their visas and or their green cards revoked. Apparently, Khalil may appear back in court on Wednesday, according to report there from Alexis McAdams. Now, what about that CBP One app with Bill Malusian? So Joe Biden created this, you know, made the CBP One app so they could make it easier for illegal aliens to invade this country and then to stay in this country. President Trump now giving it a whole new look.
The Trump administration is taking a key pillar of former President Biden's immigration policy, the controversial CBP One cell phone app, and repurposing it into a self-deportation app. It's now called CBP Home. The app allows illegal aliens in the U.S. to register to self-deport by inputting their biographical information, including their nationality, and to which country they plan to deport. They upload photos of themselves to confirm identity and submit it all to CBP. In a statement to Fox News, DHS Secretary Kristi Noem says in part, the CBP Home app gives aliens the option to leave now and self-deport, so they may still have the opportunity to return legally in the future.
All right. Now, also, Bill Malusian had another big report yesterday. One ICE office alone, one Immigration and Customs Enforcement office alone down in Houston, Texas, announced the arrest of 646 illegal aliens in a week-long operation in the Houston area. This is just Houston alone. Malusian, he's quoting the press release here from ICE, 543 of them were criminals. I would add a correction to that, and I think Bill Malusian would agree here too. 646 illegal aliens were arrested in a week-long operation in Houston. 543 of them were criminals. Actually, every single one of them are criminals because every single one of them broke into this country illegally. Every single one of them invaded this country. So all 646 are criminals, but 543 of them committed additional crimes while they were illegally in this country. 140 are aggravated felons. 34 of the illegal aliens arrested just in 1 week in Houston alone, 34 are sex offenders. And that's just in Houston, Texas. Remember, Joe Biden and John Tester and the Democrats allowed 15, 20 million, who knows how many tens of millions of illegal aliens were actually allowed into this country just in the last 4 years alone. Now, another update, Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem, she says the two leakers who leaked the sensitive ICE operations and gave a heads up to the criminal illegal aliens, she says they are now in custody and are being questioned and, of course, could face, at least 10, potentially 10 years in prison for their actions. We'll talk about that. Plus, get to your phone calls right after the Farm and Ranch Report. The number for you, 406-294-0970.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Like a lot of states, news coverage in Montana is focused on what happens in the capital, Helena. It's less common to hear news from other areas, especially on the economy and business. And it's least likely of all to hear stories about the economy in the least populated eastern third of our state. That's a challenge for our team at our research center as we head out to Sydney and Miles City for the final leg of our statewide economic outlook tour. Two pieces of more upbeat economic news from those communities may surprise you. One is a quiet rebound in oil production, now approaching levels of 11 years ago before the price bust that ended the Bakken boom. Smaller, hungrier companies have taken advantage of new technologies to revive older wells at lower costs. The second development has not yet arrived. The construction of the 420-mile-long high-voltage DC transmission line connecting Gulfstream to North Dakota. The North Plains Connector will support thousands of new jobs. When it rolls forward, it'll be a major economic event. I'm Patrick Barker.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
When Elon Musk's X was down for several hours yesterday, it almost seemed like a metaphor for the problems that he has been having. He later said it was a cyber attack. And on Fox Business, Musk told Larry Kudlow, who had been President Trump's economic advisor, when asked how he's running his other businesses, he said, with great difficulty. Tesla stock dropping some 16% yesterday, but don't worry, he's still the world's richest man. Meanwhile, the market has just been plummeting, went down again yesterday for the fourth or fifth or sixth straight day. Donald Trump under great pressure, and it's not just because of the tariffs, it's because of the uncertainty surrounding the tariffs. How much longer can he do this without worrying about the stock market. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
China's turning tariff attention to Canada. China recently responded to the U.S. increasing tariffs by increasing retaliatory tariffs against American imports, and now the Asian nation is turning its attention to Canada. China implemented tariffs on more than $2.6 billion worth of ag and food products from Canada. Reuters says the move is in retaliation against the levies Ottawa introduced in October of 2024 and opens a new front in a global trade war. The levies announced by the Commerce Ministry will take effect on March 20th and match the 100% and 25% tariffs Canada placed on Chinese-made electric vehicles and steel and aluminum products just 4 months ago. The tariffs could be a warning shot as the Trump administration showed it may be willing to ease 25% tariffs on Canadian and Mexican goods if they apply the same extra 20% duty he slapped on Chinese goods over the flow of fentanyl into the U.S. At the conclusion of this year's Commodity Classic in Denver, the National Association of Wheat Growers welcomed its new officer team. Serving as the association president is Pat Clements of Kentucky, with Montana farmer Nathan Kane becoming treasurer of the National Association of Wheat Growers. I'm Lane Northland.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks.
Not only do they have two potential leakers already in custody, but they may have two to three more. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem, you know, says that they have already begun doing polygraphs on several of the Department of Homeland Security employees. So apparently that has turned up a few more potential leakers. And enemies in the camp. So anyway, we'll tell you about that here in just a second. We've got audio of Secretary Noem. But first, let's go into the phone lines, 406-294-0970. Nancy in Roundup, first up. Good to hear from you, Nancy.
Hey, good morning, Montana Talks family. Let me tell you what I see here. You know, when I was a kid, I went to the University of Toledo. I took some creative writing and some journalism. And at that time, you know, Berkeley and Columbia was always the universities for the most radical and the extremist. And the rest of us all thought at the time they were really cuckoo, which they were and they still are. But I'm going to tell you, there was a series on TV called Hawk. It was about a meek, mild man who would turn into this monster type character and this huge, you know, beast-like man. Well, that's what I'm seeing the United States being. We're starting to flex our muscles, and we've been the sleeping giant for so long that the world is really are finding this absolutely astonishing, and they don't realize how fearsome we can be. And, you know, I have said this a long, long time. We've all known we've been taken to the cleaners by everybody, and Elon Musk said it best. He said, we're going to not fund people who hate us. They could just hate us for free. And I have felt like that my whole life. So I am just so happy as to what's going on. And I just want to say that everybody I talk to is so pissed off over all these ridiculous expenditures that they've been paying for, you know, under the carpet without them even knowing. I mean, it's Americans have really are really waking up, and it's just amazing what we're seeing. I wish I had a crystal ball so I could see at the end of the Trump term in 4 years just what we're going to be like and what the American people are going to be thinking. You know, it's just amazing. This is more like the country that I grew up in. But remember, we have one whole generation of lost Americans. I mean, the way they were growing up in this, you know, the media and the liberalism and the legacy media and all this. So it's going to take them a while.
Well, I shared the numbers on Friday night. I mean, I shared the numbers on Friday night. 18 to 39-year-olds, Charlie Kirk, 18 to 39-year-olds, 60% approval rating amongst that age group for Donald J. Trump. Higher than even the 65-plus crowd right now. So that leaves me really hopeful for the next generation. But you're exactly right. I don't think even people who have followed politics closely for decades, even knew just how bad the wasteful spending in Washington truly was, especially in the last 4 years funding this woke stuff, right? I mean, there was wasteful spending before. There was, you know, paying for expensive nails and expensive hammers, but, you know, chopping off body parts in other countries and paying for it and the green scam, way worse than anybody ever imagined.
Right. Aretha Franklin. Caden, you need to play Aretha Franklin's song, Respect. That's what it was all about. Our Washington, D.C. and the world lost respect for we Americans, and I wish I could really stay on the air when I think of them. We both get kicked off here. But anyway, have a great day, everyone.
Hey, you too. You too. And I know you mentioned yesterday on the air that you're heading into surgery here, so I know folks will be praying for you and for a speedy and successful surgery and a speedy recovery. So, Nancy, God bless. Thanks again for calling in this morning. Yeah, what she said about, you know, this is America flexing our muscle, the sleeping giant, not just flexing muscle, but I would add building muscle. I mean, we've got to rebuild some muscle now, too. Flex the muscle we got, build some muscle, but also the trimming of all this fat. That's what Elon Musk is working to do right now, is trimming the fat. And I think it was Senator John Kennedy out of Louisiana. He said, you know, whenever you start to trim the fat, the pigs will start to squeal. On that note here, before I get to the audio of Secretary of Homeland Security Kristi Noem, Elon Musk telling Fox Business that he and his Doge team are on a mission to stop America from going bankrupt. This, as the Congressional Budget Office estimates that the United States borrowed $1.1 trillion in just the first 5 months of the fiscal year. $1.1 trillion borrowed, charged to your kids and your grandkids in just the first 5 months of the fiscal year. You know what? Let me go off on that for just a second here. The 18 to 39 crowd has a 60% approval rating for Donald J. Trump. 65 plus is under 50% approval for Donald Trump. So those of you that are 65 and up, that don't support what President Donald J. Trump is doing right now. Oh, you're fine passing a train wreck on to your kids and your grandkids. You have had the honor of living in this great country your entire life, and times have been pretty good throughout the duration of your life. But you're more than happy to just pass off a mess to your kids and grandkids? Really? How do you feel about it? Listeners that I get to meet when I travel Montana is, you know, our listeners, grandparents, parents, young people, like the young people we saw at the Rock and R, but the grandparents especially that are listening to this show, that are calling into this show, they're fighting for the next generation. They realize what a great country we've got here, and they don't want to see this great country lost. They don't want to see this whole thing go under. And so that's why they realize that tough decisions have to be made here. But they are working to make things better for their kids and their grandkids. They're not just, you know what, hey, I'm just going to live my best life and, you know, just have it as easy as possible. And I'm just going to go spend every dime and suck up every resource I possibly can. And the kids and the grandkids, who cares about them? That's why our listeners are such incredible, great American patriots that are working to make a better future for, you know, our kids and grandkids, and not just hand them a massive, mess. Elon Musk pointed to this new CBO data that showed that the U.S. borrowed $308 billion in February and spent $402 billion on net interest on the public debt. We borrowed $308 billion and we spent $402 billion on interest. We spent more than we even borrowed just to pay for the interest, is what that tells me. Correct me if I'm wrong there. The Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget is warning that these figures show that, quote, absent a change in our course, our country will surpass its historic World War II era record level of debt in just 4 years. And we're not even technically in a war right now, other than, of course, the billions and billions of dollars that we've been sending over to Ukraine. Okay, Kristi Noem, Secretary of Homeland Security, she said the leakers have been identified. They will face consequences. Here you go, the Trump War Room sharing this Fox News audio.
Well, I won't talk about each specific case, but what I will tell you is that we have been utilizing polygraphs for 3 weeks now, and that we do have two DHS employees that are on administrative leave, and they're going to be facing consequences for what they've done to leak these operations. So they could face up to 10 years in federal prison for what they've done. And, well, what they've done is by leaking the information on these ops is they put law enforcement lives in jeopardy. So we've got a lot of tools. I've got a lot of authorities under DHS. I'm going to use every single one of them to stop these leakers and make sure that they face significant consequences for what they're doing. They're jeopardizing our national security. They're hurting the lives of people who are just trying to enforce the law. And so I'm thankful that we've talked about these two, but I've got several more that will be revealed here soon. And I hope they're an example to everybody else within this federal government that President Trump is enforcing the law. For the first time, we have a president that cares what the laws are in this country, and he's going to enforce them. And he's giving us the tools that we need to make sure that we can follow through on it and people face consequences who break the law.
All right, that was Secretary Noem on the Will Cain Show. We should have Congressman Downing up next.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, we've got Eastern Montana Congressional District Congressman Troy Downing with us right now on the phone lines from Capitol Hill. We had wondered if he might be a little late because apparently he just got out of a House Republican conference meeting where Vice President J.D. Vance spoke to the Republican members of Congress. Congressman Downing, great to have you on the show. Anything interesting that came out of the meeting with the Vice President this morning that you can share?
Oh, are you kidding? No, he literally just walked out of the room about 30 seconds ago. So, it's really, really important to the president that we get this CR passed. And so that's why he sent the Vice President down here to talk about it. And, you know, I hate CRs just like, you know, most of your listeners hate CRs. But, you know, we inherited this from the Biden administration, from the previous administration. And this is our only chance. And this actually, it's flat funding. We actually are saving money from the 2024 spending. And it just gives that flat funding so we have some runway so that we can actually start putting together our reconciliation bill and start delivering what everybody put us in here in office to do. Everything on the Trump agenda, everything that I ran on, everything that we ran on. So it's incredibly important that we get this through so that we can start to work on that reconciliation bill and start to deal with all of our priorities. And one thing that that he emphasized, which is really important to understand, is all this, you know, incredible work that DOGE has been doing, everything that they're uncovering, everything that we're seeing, that, you know, it's even beyond, we knew it was bad, but it's beyond what any of us expected. But all of that grinds to a halt if we have a government shutdown, and we can't allow that to happen. We need to keep the lights on, keep, you know, looking in the corners, keep doing what they're doing, and then codify that into law. And that's exactly what we're going to get to work doing. So that was the theme of what the Vice President was just talking about. And I'll tell you, at this point, you know, today, there's nothing more important to the president than getting this passed.
Yeah, I saw Stephen Miller, his deputy chief of staff, said on X, Republicans must stand united and pass the continuing resolution. It is the only way to stop a giant Christmas tree omnibus that will empower Schumer.
Absolutely.
And massively fund the radical left. Republicans must finally stick together to win. And it looks like they are sticking together. Even the Freedom Caucus now is backing this CR. Of course, President Trump has already come out in full support, saying that we've got to unite.
Well, it's
right
not just
now.
The Freedom Caucus. We've got the Freedom Caucus backing it. We've got Club for Growth backing it. We've got these, you know, traditional, you know, fiscal hawks that are actually see that this is it's not a perfect situation, but this is what we inherited, and this is how we actually start delivering. And we're not slowing anything down by a government shutdown. So it's not going to be the Republicans that shut down the government. It's going to be the Democrats if they do that. and it's going to put everything at a halt. We're going to hang that around Chuck Schumer's neck because we need to keep moving forward on everything that DOGE is doing and everything that we promised. And then the other thing I think it's just important for folks to know, a lot of this stuff that DOGE is doing and stopping this money from getting to the end user, that money is still, you know, floating in those departments. And so we need to get this through and then get a rescission package from the president so we can start clawing that money back. It's incredibly important that we start moving forward. And so as much as we all hate CRs, including me, and there's folks in here that have never in their political career voted for a CR that are going to support this because it's incredibly important that we start advancing this America First agenda and start delivering on the promises that we all made and that the president made to the American people.
Yeah, it's obvious tough decisions got to be made. I mean, we spent $402 billion just on net interest on the public debt since October alone. I mean, our country, you know, if we don't rein this in, is going to go bankrupt. Federal job cuts, obviously tough decisions have to be made. These federal job cuts, I know some of the cabinet members have been pushing back on some of these cuts. What do you see happening there with some of these federal workers?
Well, here's the thing. You know, obviously, nobody is happy about anybody losing a job, but, you know, there's a lot of fat in there, and we need to start figuring out, like, some of the, you know, the ideas that have been put out there that this is going to affect benefits. It's not affecting benefits. There's so much fat in these programs, and there's so much, so many programs, so many people that are not actually delivering the services. And so I think the important message to understand there is as much as we, you know, some of these retoolings may be uncomfortable, you know, we're going to figure this all out. We're going to be much more surgical about deciding, you know, what we need to, you know, keep and what needs to go, because we do need to, you know, reduce the size of government overall. And then at the end of the day, make sure that it's not affecting the actual delivery of services. It's not going to affect anybody on Medicare. It's not going to affect anybody on Medicaid. It's not going to affect our veterans. You know, this is going to continue delivering everything that we've promised, but we're starting to go, you know, after those positions that, you know, they're new or may not have been necessary. And we're going to continue looking at that and be much more surgical as we move forward.
I saw there was some liberal professor, I can't remember if it was at UM or MSU, but apparently he gets a lot of, you know, money from the feds for his research projects. And look, research dollars are great for our college campuses. But what I understand has been taking place is that they are charging astronomical administrative fees to administer some of this research, that if it was a private sector institution or some other nonprofit, the administrative fees would be much lower. But so I think it's really interesting that you're seeing some of these left-wing professors push back against this. But it's like I think they're kind of exposing something here.
Well, here's the thing is we need to be able to audit, and there needs to be accountability. And so a lot of these programs, you know, they may be, you know, the project they're trying to do may be valid and reasonable, but if you're overspending for something, you need to start looking at that and figuring out how to be leaner like you would in any business. Any business that just, you know, blindly throws money at a problem to get a solution is eventually going to go bankrupt, which is kind of what we're seeing as a nation. And so it's not to say that we're not going to continue doing the good work that we do that's in the interests of the United States of America. We just need to have some accountability there. I mean, here's something we were talking to Elon was addressed this last week, Elon Musk. And, you know, he was talking about these checks going out from the federal government that don't have any memo there. There's nothing that says what the check was for, and there's no record of how or why it was approved or who approved it. And so they don't have the ability to audit this stuff. We need to start just figuring out where all this stuff is going, because it's just, you know, it's just been a, you know, a free-for-all. And so looking at all this spending and trying to figure out, you know, what's legit and what's not. I mean, one of the things that he said the other day was there's about $300 million in SBA loans out to people that are in their 130s. And, of course, none of those have been paid back. I mean, we need to start figuring out, you know, where all this fraud is happening. In my opinion, there's people that should be going to jail for some of this. And we need to stop it right now. And everything on DOGE, like I said before, grinds to a halt if we see a government shutdown. We need to keep this momentum. We need to deliver the America First agenda. And, you know, this is one step in rolling up our sleeves and getting the real work done this year.
I loved Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of Defense. He said the Department of Defense, we aren't funding and doing this climate change crap. Something to that effect. I need to go find the article or the tweet again. But, yeah, one of these liberal protesters at MSU in Bozeman apparently was part of a $3 million grant from the U.S. Department of Defense to examine climate change in Africa. The Defense Department needs to be defending America, not studying climate change in Africa, so some liberal in Bozeman can take a gigantic paycheck from We the People and the laid-off Stillwater miners that I know you guys are fighting for.
Right, right. Well, you know, here's the thing, is there's been almost no accountability in government spending. And there's a new sheriff in town that's starting to figure this out and is going to stop this. And I know a lot of folks are worried of what that may look like, but, you know, we have to do this. There needs to be accountability. We need to understand what's being paid, who approved it, under what authority, why it's being paid, if it's in the interests of the United States of America. And if not, we need to shut that down because, you know, there's a bunch of holes in the bottom of this boat. We're all going to go sinking if we don't start filling these holes, and that's exactly what's going on.
Yeah, this assistant professor in a Bozeman Daily Chronicle piece, Cascade Tucholsky. I don't know if I can afford to live in Bozeman. Well, you're getting millions of dollars paid for by we, the taxpayers, to push this climate change agenda. Yeah. You're putting Montanans out of work with this climate alarmist crap. So anyway, that's my take.
Yeah,
Congressman Downing, about a minute to go before our break. What else do you want to tell folks that's happening back there in Washington?
Well, I just want to say that we're working hard for Montana. We're working hard for the United States of America. There's big issues in front of us. This is, you know, the first step in being able to put together our reconciliation bill of actually getting back to regular order of appropriations bills and doing what everybody expects us to do. And it's a lot of work. I think we're going to get everybody together. You know, we're working really well with President Trump and his team. And I expect we're going to be continually putting good news on the board as we get these wins, as we've already started doing from the beginning of this Congress.
All right. Great update, Congressman Troy Downing. Great to hear from you this morning. Appreciate your time, especially the readout right after the meeting with Vice President Vance.
Yeah, it was kind of warmed me up and got me excited walking out of the room. I'm literally in the hallway outside of the room where we just met with the Vice President. It was a very engaged conversation, so really happy to have him there.
How could you not be fired up after a meeting like that? Great to hear. All right, quick break. We've got another guest in studio with us right after this, and then John Jackson, the Joker from X, coming in at 8 for the most unwoke hour of the week.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. The message for everyone paying big wireless way too much. Please, for the love of everything good in this world, stop. With Mint, you can get premium wireless for just $15 a month. Of course, if you enjoy overpaying, no judgments, but that's weird. Okay, one judgment. Anyway, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. Intro rate for 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See full terms at mintmobile.com.
Fox News commentary.
Could the State Department use AI to send foreign pro-Hamas students packing? I hope so. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
I'm Charles Payne. Listen to my Unstoppable Prosperity podcast so I can get you making money right now. 35 years on Wall Street taught me how to successfully invest in the stock market. In my 4-part series, I'm going to teach you too. Some of Fox Business's finest join me to help tell my story, impart crucial lessons from my Unstoppable Prosperity book, and give you the tools to achieve your own financial dreams.
Listen anytime, everywhere at foxbusinesspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I'm still a little wary of AI, but in this case, I'll make an exception. Secretary of State Marco Rubio will reportedly be launching an AI-powered catch-and-revoke initiative to find and cancel the visas of foreign students who appear pro-Hamas. The process will include an AI-assisted review of tens of thousands of foreign student visa holders' social media accounts, particularly for keywords or indicators they support Hamas or celebrate the October 7th massacre. The initiative will also review if any of these foreign students were arrested but allowed to stay anyway under Joe Biden. I'm a free speech gal, but if you're a guest in this country and you abuse that privilege to spew anti-Semitic hate or conjure up violence on college campuses, you gotta go. You can be hateful and disruptive in your own country. We have plenty of problems without your bad behavior adding to it. So adios. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With partly to mostly sunny skies for today, high temperatures will range from around 50 in Bozeman to 63 in the Billings area. Tonight, with clear to partly cloudy skies, lows in the low to mid-30s. And then the outlook into Wednesday calls for partly sunny skies, highs from the mid-50s in Bozeman to the upper 60s in Billings. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy skies move in. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Flip-flop, flat top. Oh, he's flip-flopping again, even though he's no longer a United States senator. Yeah, John Tester was on HBO with Bill Maher, and he blamed Kamala Harris for his big loss here in the U.S. Senate race in Montana. And then he pretended to speak out against men and women's sports, but we all know there's actually more to that story. Either way, check out the
6248-1412 or visit Majestic Homes website at majestichomesite.com for more details.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, we got John Jackson, the Joker from X, joining us in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. And then, you know, I think the 9 o'clock hour is wide open as well. So maybe we'll see if John wants to stick around for the 9 o'clock hour with us as well. He says that X is down right now. He says he's trying to look up some folks on X and look up their tweets and things like that. But it looks like it's still working for me. In fact, I just saw something that David Noble sent out about 18 minutes ago. But anyway, we'll chat with John here in just a few minutes. First up, though, we've got Brittany Lane in the house, the Jobs Jamboree, a big Jobs Jamboree. If you're looking for work or just looking to see what opportunities might be available, this is the largest job fair in Montana, and it comes up starts one week from tomorrow. Brittany, thanks for joining us here.
Thanks for having me, Aaron.
Yeah, I like that you're coming in early, because if the Jobs Jamboree was tomorrow, then anybody looking for work would have to kind of jump through a bunch of hoops to get ready for it, right?
100%, yes. So we encourage people a week before the event, you know, come into job service if you need help with a resume, like an online application, work searches, if you just kind of want to practice some interview skills. This is a great time to visit with employers face-to-face, shake hands with them, connect with them on a personal level. I know a lot of people these days are really annoyed with, you know, everything being online. And this is just a really great way to engage with the employers and talk to them about what they're looking for and the type of work you're seeking.
What types of employers are you hearing that are out there right now that are really looking for people, or what types of jobs do you think are most needing to be filled right now?
Well, real quickly, so this event will start at 11 a.m. That is for veterans, Stillwater employers, and their families. And so, yeah, we have industries all across the board from warehouse to industrial to, you know, mining to, fishery and gravel, hotel, medical, grocery, retail, customer service, social services, human services. I mean, really the entire gamut.
Yeah, largest job fair in the state of Montana. And even a lot of senior citizens are now having to go back to work because, you know, cost, inflation, and everything like that. So opportunities kind of across the board. JSECBillings.org is your website. But if folks are listening in Butte or Bozeman, for example, right now, could they go to kind of prep, or is it best to get a hold of you guys if they want to get ready to attend this next week as well?
Yes, I would say come into your local job service here in Billings. We're located at 2121 Rosebud, and we have friendly staff that are ready to help you get a resume together, kind of, you know, just get prepared. We tell people come dressed to impress. And yeah, we want people all across the board, from, you know, people who are maybe looking at internships to retirees to if you're looking for a career change, whatever that looks like for you. We know, as, you know, human beings, we evolve, and so do our work interests, or maybe you're just not happy in that job anymore. So, we work 80% of our lives. Why not find something that's going to, you know, make you happy and you don't dread going to work every day? So
Wednesday, March 19th, the Jobs Jamboree, early entrance for veterans, other U.S. military currently serving, and then I like the fact that you're taking care of our Stillwater Mine employees and their families as well, because I know a lot of those laid off Stillwater miners. Well, hopefully we can get the mine back up and running, but in the meantime, I know there's still many of them that are looking for work.
Absolutely.
Right now still.
And federal employees too. Our hearts go out to them as well. So, we have a low unemployment rate here locally. It's 2.8 at the moment. And so they want the cream of the crop. And so come visit so we can get you taken care of.
Yeah, luckily we live in Montana with second highest wage growth in the nation.
Yeah.
And our economy has typically been doing better than some of the other states
Absolutely.
Out there. So a lot of jobs that need to be filled. All right, Brittany Lane, great to see you. Thanks for dropping
Thanks
in.
Thanks so much, Aaron. We appreciate you.
All right. Appreciate your time this morning. Quick break. Get to your national news update here at the top of the hour. And then John Jackson in with us for the 8 o'clock hour. Of course, we take your phone calls as well if you got something you want to talk about and get on our radar.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Like a lot of states, news coverage in Montana is focused on what happens in the capital, Helena. It's less common to hear news from other areas, especially on the economy and business. And it's least likely of all to hear stories about the economy in the least populated eastern third of our state. That's a challenge for our team at our research center as we head out to Sydney and Miles City for the final leg of our statewide economic outlook tour. Two pieces of more upbeat economic news from those communities may surprise you. One is the quiet rebound in oil production, now approaching levels of 11 years ago before the price bust that ended the Bakken boom. Smaller, hungrier companies have taken advantage of new technologies to revive older wells at lower costs. The second development has not yet arrived. The construction of the 420-mile long high-voltage DC transmission line connecting Goldstrip to North Dakota. The North Plains Connector will support thousands of new jobs. When it rolls forward, it will be a major economic event. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.